Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast all about the galaxy's greatest comics, mostly the British ones. I'm Eamon Clark. I'm in a pub in Cambridge and I am with returning book clubber Tim Burnell. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Is it?
Yeah, it is about... still just about morning, yeah. Although we've already started on a liquid lunch.
Yeah.
So we're here back in the pub in Cambridge. We're going to be meeting up with a few 2000 AD people later. Mm-hmm. Last time we were across the park in a coffee shop talking about Strontian Dog, The Final Solution.
The Final Solution, yeah.
That was episode 116 of the book club.
So a bit of a... as a bit of a treat, I managed to get an original page from that 2 weeks ago.
Really?
So, you know, you talk about having grail pages.
Yeah.
Well, I managed to get
one. You get one.
It's not the grail page, but anything by Simon Harrison is... that's a bit of a tail end to that. I finally achieved something I've wanted since I was very young. So that's a happy tail end to that little story.
You've got a Simon Harrison Strontium Dog page. You'll have to share that with me so we can post an image of it.
Yes, I will do it. It's nicely framed up on the wall.
Fantastic stuff. Now, so last time we were on 2000 AD. This time we're drifting off territory a little bit because we're following one creator across the pond. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about Sleeper, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. I think it's quite pivotal in their relationship. I think this is the point where they went off and, you know, they've done a lot together. I think this is the thing that cemented that relationship. Or it feels like that to me, sort of set them on that trajectory.
So I have got Sleeper Volume 1, a 2018 trade collection by Ed Brubaker. There's a story in there with art by Colin Wilson, but we're going to be skipping over that to talk about Sean Phillips' art. Colours, I think it's Tony Avena and Randy Mayer who'd colour Sean Phillips in this. Letter by Bill Oakley, edited by Scott Dumbier and Chrissy Quinn. And this ran in Sleeper, issues 1 to 12, 2002 to 2003. Was that Wildstorm?
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the first volume. There was a second volume to follow up as well.
I must admit, I get a little bit confused about Wildstorm and when it gets folded in under DC, but...
That's a good question.
Yeah,
they were allowed to be independent for a while, and they abused it and car crushed it and relaunched it, and yeah, I don't know what DC did to it, but yes, I think this was still effectively an independent universe at that point.
Right. So before I get you to describe the setup, just why this one for the book club? What was it about this book?
I think when I think about comics, I think about... There's an emotion, you know. Sometimes you think, oh, there's great art, but this is one where I remember the emotional beats. I remember how I felt. When I reread it, it's still, you know, you just have things that have a strong emotional resonance. This has a very strong story. And it's still now, there's particular events that stick in my mind. And when you have something that's a strong emotional journey, you want to share it. You say, you know, I really enjoy this. I recommend it. You know, you want people to experience a similar sort of a bit of storytelling. So that for me, and also I think maybe, you know, Ed and Sean, they've been very successful with things like Criminal Sins, but like I say, this to me feels like the beginning of their relationship, and I think it does things that they haven't done since or won't do. So I definitely think if you're a fan of either of them, this is one to check out, because it's the same but also quite different, and that's why I recommend it. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously now they're known for their sort of criminal noir books.
Yeah, yeah.
They put out two or three hardback volumes of something a year, which we'll talk about in a moment. But here, back in 2002, they're doing something different for them, slightly perhaps more traditional American comics for, in a way. What's the setup of Sleeper? What's it about?
I mean, the good thing about Sleeper is the first couple of issues, it's done that storytelling where it drip feeds you, so you kind of almost don't need to have too much of a backdrop, but essentially he is the main character, Holden, is a Sleeper agent in a international criminal / terrorist organisation, and he's done a really good job of sort of removing the context. Yes, it might be in a superhero universe, but you kind of don't really need to know too much about that, because the story's very good at just sort of drip feeding you enough information, because that's the story in itself, is about drip feeding, you know, that it's sort of not necessarily told in a sequential narrative. But yeah, he's basically, he's one of the good guys, he gets superpowers, and then he's, because nobody knows the context of him getting superpowers, they set him up as a sleeper agent and basically fabricate his background so that he looks like a baddie. Is that sufficient? Is that...
Yeah, I think so. He's a superpowered super spy.
Yeah.
His name, I keep wanting to say Holden Caulfield, but that's Catherine Wright. Holden Carver, isn't it, yeah, is the main character.
I believe that the Holden and the Carver are both references to other fictional spies,
right,
spy novels, but so you could be onto something there.
Carver sounds like he's one of the the hard-boiled crime novels that Brubaker's such a fan of.
It's definitely an amalgamation of references, though the references are above, beyond me, I'm afraid.
And I think it would be fair to say it's a twisty-turny story. Because it's spy stuff, you're never entirely sure who's working for who. And
I mean, this is why I think it's so good, because a lot of the things they've done, such like Criminal, are about criminals. This is a spy noir, and neither one of them has done that so much today. It's definitely deeply entrenched in the ambiguity that, you know, the spy came in from the cold. What side are people on? And what I really enjoy about this is the fact that every decision he makes, it's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It almost doesn't matter what the rationale is for a decision, where he thinks he's being good or bad. It just digs him deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole. And that's the really great piece about this storytelling, is it sort of strips away his morality, because when you work in that ambiguous world, it's like he loses context with what is good and bad. And I think that it almost relentlessly reinforces that pit, falling into that pit. It's like he's in a bad world. It's like, can you really do anything good in this? Are the sacrifices that you have to make worth it? And there's no way, there's no frame of reference. You're just a sleeper. You just have to do what you can to maintain your cover. And that, I think you can see that abrades his morality and his ethical compass. And what I particularly, like about this is it throws up a mirror, because his ability is he can't feel pain, he can't feel things, which makes him, you know, very, very tough. And it's like a mirror to the inner world is a mirror to his external world, where you increasingly see that he's stripped of physical external feelings, and increasingly his emotional internal world is being affected in the same way. It's quite a good mirror. There's lots of stuff like that Ed does in these sort of books. It's a nice parallel.
Yeah, he heals like Wolverine, but he doesn't feel pain, as you say, and he can use that pain. He sort of stores pain as a pain battery and inflicts it on other people.
He can a compressed amount of pain back on somebody, which is often enough to kill somebody, just the sheer shock of it, the pain.
So it's a 12-issue series. Brubaker and Phillips playing in the Wildstorm sort of universe. Was Holden Carver, was he a new character they created?
I think he was introduced in that previous, was it Coup d'Etat?
Point Blank, is it?
Point Blank,
the Colin Wilson drawn story.
I
said, just flicking towards the covers at the back. Point Blank was a five-issue series beforehand.
I mean, I know we're not talking about Point Blank, but I know it's something that we discussed briefly. Colin is a fantastic artist, 2000 AD artist, and he probably doesn't get enough respect or recognition, but yes, he's a cracking artist.
I love Colin Wilson art, and I am looking for an opportunity to do a deep dive on Colin Wilson at some point, because as you say, we don't talk about him enough. Okay, so Holden, he's introduced briefly in the previous story, and then he's in here. They also borrow, it's great when you can borrow toys from, you know, an existing universe. So they borrow a character, this character Tao,
Yeah, yeah.
From Wildcats, as far as I can tell. And I understand he wasn't like a huge character in Wildcats.
No, he was very much like a throwaway, you know, generic. And then this sort of was used an opportunity to give him a much more detailed world and motives and ambiguity and just sort of explore, how would I describe it? If somebody's incredibly intelligent but detached from humanity, where does that put their ethical compass? And so, yeah, Ed just kind of goes, okay, well, let's just make this character a bit more, that make his intellect frightening and alien and hard to understand and hard to relate to.
Yeah. And he is, isn't he? He's quite a disturbing character in this book.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, he's got vibes of Ozymandias, you know, he's super smart.
Very much. Yeah.
He's super manipulative, he can influence people. Yeah. Okay, so that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Ed Brubaker, again, he comes up through the American comic book series. Probably best known in comics for creating the Winter Soldier storyline.
Yes, which came after this.
Oh, right.
And actually, I believe this laid a lot of the foundation, because, again, that's a spy story, not a crime story. And I think this might have been him stretching his legs a little bit, but I've got Winter Soldier. It's a cracking read. And the story's different, but you can see that he's learned a lot about, because it is a spy story, Winter Soldier, essentially. Yeah. Even though it's set in the superhero context, it's very much about ambiguity and not knowing things, which is kind of what the genre's all about, really. Yeah.
And of course, Winter Soldier gets filmed as one of the Captain America movies, and Ed Brubaker makes a very brief appearance as one of the white-coated scientists in it.
I may have known that and forgotten that.
Well, I only remember that. I only remember that because Ed Brubaker...
Did he have some facial hair? Was that really...
He may have done, I remember. I think he has a line and about Bucky, the Winter Soldier, and I think... Because Ed Brubaker has said that he gets more money in residuals from the film than he does from the comic.
That sounds about... Well, we were at Lawless, weren't we? And when they were talking about Watchmen, and Bolland said that they'd sold more copies of Watchmen when post they'd said the movie was going to make than the entire preceding, 20-plus years? Which is just crazy, the impact a movie has on somebody's personal economics.
What do you think is Brubaker's fascination with these dark noir settings for stories that he loves to write?
I don't know. I think maybe he's just found a niche and he's really good at it. I mean, I don't know enough about him as a writer, but I do know that I really enjoy his stories because they are a bit more mature.
Right.
You know, he's not afraid to... tell slightly darker stories, and they often have a bit more emotional impact. They, you know, they stick with you a bit more. They're a bit more enjoyable. But I think he probably grew up with that American noir. He's probably of an age where that was a big influence on him because he's a bit older, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. I think he has got that American noir. Mm. I mean, it's come up on a previous podcast where we discussed. The influence of the Parker novels on some Dread stories. Mm-hmm. And I think the Parker novels and the films, huge influence on Brubaker.
He loves
this dark, grimy underbelly of American sort of crime. Mm. And here he is turning it into a spy story.
Yeah. And I think he found a perfect partner to capture that, you know, the vision of that as well. I mean, that's a match made in heaven when you think about it.
So Brubaker and Phillips have become a brand now, haven't they?
They have a niche, which is theirs. You know what you're going to get.
Yep.
They don't deviate from it, and they do it extremely well. You know, that's an example of doing independent comics publishing really well.
You've suggested, is this their first or one of their very first collaborations?
I don't think it's the first. I think they may have done some smaller things, but I think this is the first major thing. I can't remember. They did do something before, but... I'm too old to have a functional memory for stuff like that anymore.
I should have reread his introduction because Brubaker wrote a piece about that in here and about how Sean Phillips immediately got his stories and just seemed like a perfect fit. So for the last 25 years then, nearly, Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker have been doing their crime novels. They did Fatal, the sort of Lovecraftian woman. Mm. Have you ever read that one?
I haven't read that one, actually, no.
So they've done a horror one, they've done a spy one. They do lots of... They obviously wrote Criminal.
Yeah.
They did Reckless, which comes out two or three times a year.
Reckless is very good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, they have been so prolific that, like you say, 25 years, I am not on top of a fraction of that. It's just hard to keep on top of that. You know, they are very prolific.
I've just read Where the Body Was, which is their latest hardback crime novel.
Right.
Where they've set it... It's that one... They've done something slightly different with that. They've almost set it up like a mystery for the reader to solve, even has like maps and characters and things like, it's almost like a Cluedo setup, you know.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, Sean Phillips' art, he starts on 2018, 1991 thereabouts. Doesn't do an awful lot, you know. I mean, he worked on Devlin War. I can't remember the name of the first strip he appeared in, something weird that I can't remember. But again, a bit like Brubaker, I get the feeling that Sean Phillips was quite keen to break away from science fiction and superheroes. Is that what you think about him?
I mean, his style has evolved over time, but you get the impression that that's not necessarily where his talents and energy are best placed. I mean, didn't he do the Marvel Zombies stuff? And I was like,
oh, of course.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to knock him on this, but I wouldn't, if I was an editor, he wouldn't have been in my top 10 for this. It was, to me, an odd choice, to be honest. That's as diplomatic as I'll put it.
Okay. I should imagine if he does any American conventions, that's the stuff, the Marvel Zombies, that he gets asked to sign, I should imagine.
That's a good point. I suppose you do have to think about your markets, don't you?
Because I should imagine that's been fairly profitable for him, doing that. Because that was, for a while, it was like huge, wasn't it?
It was huge. And remarkably dark. Might be why he did it, actually.
Yeah.
It says, we are not going to pull any punches.
Yeah. Okay. What do you make of his artwork here in Sleeper, in these 12 issues? In this very... And it, you know, it is deliberately dark spy story.
I mean, he's really stripped it down to the bare, but he's almost done... And this is the whole thing about noir, isn't it? It's all about... it's all about lighting and dark.
Right.
You know, he's not going in for over-rendering. He's picking panels and he's lighting them to tell the story. He's using as much black as possible. And that totally fits this grey, dark, grimy world. You know, nothing's brought into extreme levels of detail. You know, it really works for the story. And almost it's... Sometimes if you render too much, you can slow down the storytelling. This is story first, and this is a great example of, I think, if some people are not massively into comics, they can judge an artist by what they think is, you know, the level of rendering, is the quality of the artist. This is a guy who's focused on storytelling, number one, and atmosphere, and everything about, you know, I'm just seeing a panel he's showing now that's set in the dark, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's atmosphere, storytelling, you know, that don't interrupt the story, enhance the feeling. I mean, you've got a conversation now that you're showing, which is largely just in a darkened room,
yes.
Bare minimum to say, but that absolutely works. You know, he's...
Panels floating on a dark background in a darkened room of conversation between two characters. Tremendous stuff. And I noticed I flicked past... couple of things. One is there is a sort of superhero themed underworld bar.
Yeah, I like that.
which seems to be a feature of Ed Brubaker and Phillips's work, that there's some sort of bar.
What I really like about this is these are D-level heroes. Virtually no superheroes in this at all. Yes, it's set in a super universe, but these are people. It's like, I have an ability that allows me to commit petty crime or rob a bank. you know, if you take this, oh well, if I can see through a bank vault or if bullets bounce off me, then you know, I'm never going to save the world, but I might be able to make a bit of money for myself. And you can see that. All right, well, he's extrapolated. Okay, well, we've got a whole class of people who are, you know, most of, you know, they do explore a lot of backstories. They've not had great backgrounds. They've got an ability. They move to petty crime. There's a seedy underworld, and it really feels believable. It feels like the totally believable underbelly of what would really happen if people could, you know, death touch people or vulnerable to bullets. You know, it just feels right. But yes, you're right. I think it grounds having that, you know, it gives a sense of context, because the big problem with superheroes is like they're not on this, they're in a base on the moon, and it's slightly hard to relate to.
Yeah. Talking about slightly hard to relate to, and a shout out to our mutual friend Conrad, who loves a bit of conspiracy theory nonsense. There's a sort of Bilderberg group.
Oh,
conspiracy,
yes, the
theory,
yeah,
in,
yeah, yeah,
in here
very
as well,
yeah, yeah,
which is great fun. Also, Sean Phillips, appropriate enough for a Brubaker and Phillips, they did Fatale.
Mm-hmm.
He draw Sean Phillips does a good femme fatale.
Oh, yes, he does.
And there's much more sex in their criminal and their most recent books, but there's a fair amount of sex for an American comic in here as well. With the femme fatale, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful stuff. He's beautifully coloured. I know his son, Jacob Phillip, colours a lot of his stuff now, doesn't he?
I think he was started with colouring. Now he's doing his own art.
He's doing his own comics now as well.
Is it Chris Condon he collaborates with? I got some of
that
his...
Texas Blood. That's, and the...
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot the name of the gang. The Enfield Gang, I think.
Yeah, I've got some of their early stuff. I even got him to, during lockdown, he did commission of Lieutenant Columbo for me.
Oh, okay. Just one more thing.
Just one more thing, exactly.
Yeah, fantastic. It is wonderful stuff. I am a big fan of Sean Phillips' artwork and the beautiful noir work that he does. I do feel that Brubaker and Phillips together were sort of looking for an excuse in a way, or maybe... That's not the right word. Maybe they were looking for the stepping stone of doing their earlier work so they could go on and do the comics they really wanted to do.
This is why I said, you know, I believe that if you're into them now, this is the kickoff point. This is the epicenter of where they had developed their brand, their identity, their storytelling style, and launch pad, you know, that was the launch pad to their careers. That's what it feels like. This collaboration feels like it just hit the ground running.
And so this is a 12-issue series. Without spoilers, I'll say that it doesn't quite wrap up. There's a sort of cliffhanger ending.
No, it's interesting. It wasn't until I reread this that I went, the real emotional notes are set up for the second part, because, oh my word, does that kick the world out from under your feet? I mean, this is very good storytelling, and it has this progressive sort of digging a deeper hole. But yeah, there's... it lays the foundations in the second part for some real emotional kicks in the teeth. I'll say that. Yeah. It's but it still works as sequential storytelling. It's still telling a really good story.
So how long does it continue then after this? Then it carries on for a while.
I just think it was two 12-issue series.
Two 12-issue series. Yeah. That were then collected in a couple of volumes. But there's also an omnibus collection, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I found in my notes that I made, yes, Brubaker and Phillips worked together first on a Batman Gotham Noir one-shot in 2001. There
Noir.
You go.
What a bizarre coincidence.
Yeah, exactly, because noir is their thing. Okay, so it's great stuff. It's twisty-turny super spies in a sort of grimy... dark, very noir world, crossings and double crossings.
I think also what I'd point out is I think it's very clever how they extrapolate. So, you know, I mentioned earlier about Carver, how his emotional world almost mirrors his physical world. Femme Fatale, but Miss Misery, fascinating.
Right.
What they do with her powers. I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't read it, but. Again, there's a really fascinating emotional consequence to her powers, and that impacts this story in a lot of ways. It makes her much more interesting and rounded as a character, because again, it's like the normal. Yeah, it's like I have these powers or these abilities or whatever it is. How do they affect me? Rather than that, how do I use them to affect the world? It's that inner world that's a reflection of powers is absolutely fascinating to me.
Yeah. Okay, it's astonishing stuff. Mm. What's your favourite Brubaker and Phillips?
This, without a doubt, is
this
the
one.
This is the one where, and I know we said there's the second part, the emotional payoff, how it made me feel, how it still makes me feel, how you get attached to characters who you even know are assholes. There's one death in this, and I'm like, even now, I'm like, yeah, that hurt. Because you can see, even though they're not necessarily good people, they're still well-rounded people. You know, you sort of get them. But yeah, this to me is, and because I like the criminal stuff, but I love spy stuff, and this is their best spy story, I think. If that makes sense. Sorry, we've just both been distracted by a puppy walking.
Percy the pup. Right, so this is your favourite one of their works, basically.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. I must admit, I'm more of a fan of their criminal stuff.
Yeah.
And Reckless.
I won't hold that against you.
No. Okay, I was going to ask you who was your favourite artist in the collection, because we got the Colin Wilson, but we haven't really touched on that. It's obviously Sean Phillips.
For this particular sort of story, Sean Phillips is absolutely a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Colin Wilson is an amazing artist, but he's got his own strengths, and you know, it's in the right genre for him.
Okay, so Sleeper Volume 1 is available for £16.99, £15 digitally. I had it free with the Kindle Unlimited.
Well, that's a bit of a bargain.
There's two, as we say, there's two more volumes, or there's two separate volumes, I think. Is that right?
I think they originally printed it as two six-issue series, but it's a series two is 12 issues.
Right.
But I think the only way you can get it now is just as the omnibus. I'm not sure if you can get them separate anymore.
So if you've read their crime noir stuff, go back and read Sleeper. If you've read Sleeper, go on and look at their crime noir stuff.
I think so. I mean, you either get what these guys are doing or you don't. And if you like their storytelling, this to me is just, like I say, it's a lot of people have read the criminal stuff, but this has that spy element that I really enjoy. And also, there's a really funny thing towards the end where he does his thesis on. Well, it's Tau's anti-superhero thesis,
yeah.
But it's really Ed Brubaker's, isn't it?
Right.
He does a couple of panels explaining, you know, he's it's not quite apathy, but he's contempt for superheroes, and you really know that it's Ed Brubaker's reason why I don't like decent superhero comics. So it's quite funny,
yes,
because he clearly has quite a bit of contempt.
I must admit, I did read that, and I was thinking, yes, this is why Brubaker and Phillips gave up the superheroes and moved on to what they really wanted to
do. But it's there on the page.
Yeah.
Tau's saying it, but you know exactly who's really saying that.
Anything else you wanted to say about Sleeper before we move on, Tim?
I can't think about it. I think it's just a cracking read. And if you like more mature noir stories, a bit of spy, and you like something a bit deeper, this is definitely worth a read.
Excellent stuff. Sleeper by Brubaker and Phillips. Get it and let us know what you think. And also, I would say, get Criminal and Reckless and their most recent Pulp and Night Fever, I think, were very good.
They are so prolific. It's crazy.
Yeah, amazing partnership. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Guest projects time. Last time we were in the coffee shop, we were talking a little bit about your own art and how hard you'd been working on it. And, of course, now you've done comics.
Yeah, well, I think this year's my 10-year anniversary of drawing every single day.
Right, excellent.
During lockdown, I started doing mini comics. I've since been published in two online and one physical anthology.
Yep.
DUI, Volume 3.
Drawn on the Influence, Volume 3, includes a story by Tom Davis and yourself.
Indeed.
Death from Above.
Indeed. And then I have just been working through a script for the relaunch of Zarjaz.
Oh, right, okay.
That will be published at some point early this year. That's been really fun. Really getting to the point now where drawing comics is hard, but it's also very rewarding if you're in the right frame of mind. So I got to the point where I'm enjoying drawing comics more than just drawing, because it's representing new challenges. So and if anyone's interested, my stuff is on Instagram, on Timotron1.
I will link to that in the show notes for this episode, and also if anybody's still after a copy of DUI 3, I do still have a few copies. I should have brought some today for the people in the pub, actually. DUI 3, it was great. Thank you for doing that. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what else you're doing, because your art has come on remarkably. Well, drawing every day helps.
It
works.
Nobody cares about... I've been on a few courses, and there's some really talented young people, and then it's just like, yeah, but I see you're coasting. It's like, you just need to... effort will always pay through in the end. Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay, well, anything else in guest projects? Anything else coming up, apart from possibly Zarjaz?
I'm welcome to do any things after that. I'm really excited to just do more comics, really. I enjoy it. So that's
Find Tim on Instagram in the show notes and get in touch. Great stuff. Well, I look forward to seeing what we're going to do next time. We did the very dark Final Solution, the pretty dark Sleeper, so we'll see.
I'll have to dig even deeper for the next one.
Yeah. And thank you to everyone for listening to Mega City Book Club. As ever, find all these links at megacitybookclub.com. Follow the pod on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon, Blue Sky. We're probably on new social networks called Wildcats and Tau. And we're also on the 2000 AD forums. Or email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. So until next time, when we're passing judgment on another great book from a pub in Cambridge where they've just turned on the football, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me. Thanks, everyone.